This week's episode of the Pro Football Weekly Chicago Football Podcast brought to you by Loot Crate. Head to lootcrate.com/Shaw. Use our promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W. You're going to get $3 off your first crate. And we are recording on February 16th. You only have a few more days to get your hands on the February crate, which is the quote-unquote put-together franchises. So Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, that new Power Ranger movie coming out soon. Batman, Lego Dimensions, and Tetris, which was my personal favorite Game Boy game back in the day. Remember, whenever you get a crate every month, you get a monthly t-shirt and a pin, and that is the theme for February. So Power Rangers, Legos, Batman, Tetris, all those things. $20 a month, less than $20 a month, you get all these great items in a crate. And if you use our promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W, at lootcrate.com/Shaw, you're going to get $3 off your first crate. We are back and better than ever, so let's talk some Bears. Welcome to PFW Chicago Football Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Fishbane. I apologize. It's been a couple weeks, but we're back. We were working on our Pro Football Weekly Draft Preview magazine, so trust me, it was worth it to not be able to have a podcast for you because it's going to be a great draft magazine available soon in newsstands. But we got a lot to talk about today, even though it is the middle of February. It is always football season. We're going to talk Alshon Jeffrey, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jay Cutler, other Bears moves. You can follow me on Twitter at KFishbane. Got my producers on hand, Dan and Lee. It is Dan Mott's birthday, by the way, so happy birthday to Dan. John Sally is going to join us in a little bit. Our guest in just a couple minutes is Chris Wessling of NFL.com to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo and the Chicago Bears. Just want to update you on what's going on with the Bears, and it's really a lot of nothing right now. It's a lot of speculation. They did bring back offensive lineman Eric Kush on a two-year deal. Kush was a very valuable fill-in last year, started in four games. Actually, how's this for a stat? The Bears were 2-2 when Eric Kush was in the starting lineup, and they were, let me do the math here, 1-11 when he wasn't. Of course, that is not a correlation equals causation situation, but I just found it funny. But he proved to be very valuable, younger guy, so they bring him back. But certainly not the move everyone's waiting for. We are all waiting on Alshon Jeffrey. The franchise tag window is now open. Teams have until March 1st to use that tag, and the Bears could tag Alshon Jeffrey again. That would be about $17.5 million for him to be on the team in 2017, which means it would take up a lot of the cap. But the Bears have a lot of salary cap space. They don't have a lot of wide receivers they could depend on. And as much as Alshon Jeffrey has proven to be undependable at times, when you look at the PED suspension last year, the soft tissue injuries in 2015, is a guy that when he's healthy and on the field is one of the more dynamic receivers in the game. So it's going to be a very, very interesting decision for Ryan Pace. I think the best thing for both sides would be able to come up with some long-term deal that gives the Bears some outs if Alshon gets suspended again, if the injuries come up again, maybe be careful with the guaranteed money, have some playtime incentives, and maybe you got to use the franchise tag as a tool to help come to agreement on that kind of deal. Because I tell you what, if you let Alshon Jeffrey hit the open market, someone's going to throw stupid money at him and someone's going to sign him. And then you're going to next year with an unknown in Kevin White, a guy in Cam Meredith that was a great story last year, but is probably just a number two receiver, and who knows about Eddie Royal and anybody after that. So Alshon Jeffrey is the big story. We are going to be at the Combine in 2 weeks where we're going to hear from Ryan Pace and John Fox, and obviously that'll be the big question. Actually, we talked to both of them on March 1st, which is the deadline to use the franchise tag, so that should be interesting. But that's kind of the number one question. And of course, number two is going to be Jay Cutler and what they do with him. Free agency opens on March 9th. Teams can start negotiating with agents on March 7th, but a lot of underground negotiation takes place late night in Indianapolis. So stay tuned on that. By the way, you can check out all of our content at Bears_Insider, profootballweekly.com/Bears. I have a great slideshow for you on some on looking at the Bears free agents and who they may or may not re-sign. Not a very big list, but there's also taking a look at some targets they could go after in free agency. But free agency really is going to start and end with the quarterback position for the Bears. And will they trade for Jimmy Garoppolo? Will they bring back Brian Hoyer? Will they go after one of the other veteran quarterbacks? And to look more into the Bears' options at the quarterback position and really dive into the Jimmy Garoppolo situation. I got a chance to talk to Chris Wessling of NFL.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Wessling, WESSELING. He wrote a great story about the Garoppolo situation, and he is going to give us the goods, the insight on what the Bears should do at the quarterback position. If you head to NFL.com, you can see a great story by our next guest, Chris Wessling, called Garoppolo Trade Could Be Perfect Storm for Patriots. And everyone in Chicago has either Jimmy Garoppolo fever or Jimmy Garoppolo fear, which is why I wanted to bring Chris down to talk about the hottest quarterback on the market, it seems, if he's even on the market. And Chris, first question for you, I want to go from the Patriots' perspective. If you're New England, I know it's very hard to predict what New England's going to do. What are kind of the pros and cons in terms of whether or not they should consider trading Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, I think they have to realize this is the perfect window to extract maximum value out of him. He can be a free agent. His rookie deal expires after the 2017 season. So at that point, I guess you could attempt to do what you did with Matt Castle and franchise tag him. But do you really want to do that when Tom Brady, as hard as it is to believe, Tom Brady is literally still in his prime. You could argue that he played at a higher level last year, the 2016 season, than he ever has before, considering he didn't have Gronk for most of the year. He doesn't have a Randy Moss type of guy, and he carried this team to the Super Bowl title. The Patriots believe Brady can play another 3 to 5 years. Brady believes he can play that long, if not longer. So I think this is your time to trade Garoppolo and then thrust Jacoby Brissett into the backup role. Those are the reasons why you would do it. Why you wouldn't do it, because you're still in the Super Bowl window. You can win with Jimmy Garoppolo on your bench, and he's valuable insurance for Tom Brady.
Talking to Chris Wessling of NFL.com, Around the League, Around the NFL writer. You could also listen to him on the Around the NFL podcast. When you watch Jimmy Garoppolo just as a guy who watches football for a living, analyzes football for a living, what do you see from him that tells you he could be a starter, a long-term starter option for these teams that are weighing these decisions?
Well, I think you have to concede that it's a small sample size. Once you get past that, I think that when you see Ryan Pace or Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco or Hugh Jackson in Cleveland, when they turn on the game film, they're going to see a guy who, in his first career start, went into Arizona, beat a Super Bowl contender on the road in a nationally televised game without Rob Gronkowski. That's impressive. And then you turn on week two, and he only plays the first half because he got injured late in the second quarter. But in that first half, he was the best player on the field. And let's get into some specifics. He has a skill set that I would put similar to a young Tony Romo, and you even see a little Marcus Mariota in him. He's very athletic. He has very light feet. He's perfect for a rollout, boot action type of offense. I, from what I saw, very quick release. One of the quickest releases in football, very accurate, and a guy who was smart. I think he's been incubated in that New England system behind Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels. He reads defense as well. He knows how to manipulate safeties. He spreads the ball around to all of his receivers like Tom Brady does. I think you see all that stuff on film.
Yeah, and I remember when Jimmy was at the Senior Bowl, which is really when his stock started to rise. It was that quick release that everyone saw right away. And when you talk about the price, and this is in your article, you guys can go check it out at NFL.com. You talk about the price it's going to take to maybe get Jimmy Garoppolo, again, assuming the Patriots are going to dangle him out there for a trade. The Bears, of course, hold the number 3 pick and the number 36 pick. They have 2 fourth-round picks. From a Bears perspective, what kind of package do you think would work if they want to try to land Jimmy Garoppolo?
This is such a tricky question to answer because it's my belief that when you get the top 3 teams in the draft, none of whom are really a good fit for a Tony Romo type who wants to play for a contender, but if you get the Bears, 49ers, and Browns in a bidding war, there's no telling what the price could be. I don't think it's going to be a Jared Goff type of price, where you're talking 2 firsts, 2 seconds, and 2 thirds. But I do think once the bidding war starts, now you're trying to top, if you're the Bears, you're trying to top the Browns and the 49ers. And what if with the Browns with tons of salary cap space and the most draft picks we've seen in a while, they can escalate the price on anyone. So at that point, I don't know what the price would be. I think if you're the Bears, you start with that 36 pick and maybe throw in the second round pick the year after that, and maybe that's not enough.
Now, with the Jimmy Garoppolo situation, of course, the elephant in the room, and you talked earlier, Chris, about the cons of trading him, is there's a very decent chance the Patriots don't even trade him at all. And that brings us to other options for the Bears. So I'm very curious, as a national writer who covers the whole league, what your perspective is on some of the other options out there. If we're kind of under the assumption, which I am, that Jay Cutler is not going to be a Bear, there are options, of course, Brian Hoyer, Matt Barkley, in terms of guys to bring back. There's the Mike Glennon talk. There's a couple other veteran quarterbacks. Nick Foles could become available. Who do you see as a guy, if it's not Garoppolo, if the Bears want to bring in a bridge quarterback, including guys they could re-sign, who kind of is top of your mind as best options?
If you're the Bears, none of those guys are appetizing. Mike Glennon is not a starting quarterback. Nick Foles is not a starting quarterback in the NFL. The only guy I think who can approximate what Jay Cutler would give you is Tyrod Taylor, who the Bills have until March 11 to pick up his option. And at this point, I think it's 50-50 at best whether they do that. So he could come free. Is he an upgrade on Jay Cutler? I think they're the same type of quarterback. They're teases who you don't want to be the face of your franchise, but are right around that 20 to 25 region for quarterbacks in the NFL.
And when you talk about this quarterback position, Chris, and you look at a team like the Bears, that it's been a position that's really evaded them for so many years, and the fact that Jay Cutler has so many records in their record book says a lot about Jay and says a lot about the Bears franchise. But, you know, when you look at their options, I'll give you the Ryan Pace hat to wear. What do you think it would be the ideal kind of combination in terms of who they bring in, who they draft, when they use a draft pick? I know it's a loaded question. I know there's so many options, but what do you see as kind of a good route when you know, after watching this league for so long, the types of quarterback situations that do work in the NFL?
Well, I'm a little handicapped by the fact that I don't watch college football, so I'm relying on other people here. When I hear Mike Mayock say he'd be scared to death to draft any of these prospects in the top of the first round, then I immediately shift to Jimmy Garoppolo makes the most sense. If it takes this year's two and next year's two, to me, that is by far the most appetizing scenario.
Let's shift gears quickly, Chris, to the other big decision that Ryan Pace has to make, and that's Alshon Jeffrey. And I think this is certainly national news in terms of what the Bears decide to do with him, because if they don't franchise tag him, if he hits the open market on March 9th, you're talking about the best wide receiver on the market. And if Le'Veon Bell has been re-signed, you're talking about the best pure skill player on the market. It's such an interesting scenario. We talked about this on this podcast before you came on in terms of all the Bears' options with Alshon Jeffrey. You know, his numbers don't resemble – his numbers the last 2 years don't resemble the type of money he's going to be seeking. But then again, the Bears don't really have a whole lot of options behind him, and he is very good when he's healthy and on the field. What do you think in terms of Alshon Jeffrey and some of the options the Bears have in terms of they want to keep him or let him hit the market?
Yeah, I think they backed themselves into a corner with him because I really think they need him. They don't know what they have in Kevin White, who didn't play well before he injured himself again. So I think at that position, I think you need to tag him again. The salary cap is high enough now where teams can make these decisions where they can say, okay, we didn't handle this well, but we have the money available. Let's tag him again. I think that's what you have to do.
And sticking with free agency, your best guess in terms of Eric Berry, because it seems like he's kind of the one of the top guys, if not the top guy on the defensive side of the ball. What do you think the Kansas City Chiefs do with that top safety?
Well, I think it's going to be a lot like last year, where he doesn't report until late August, but he really has no alternatives. If the Chiefs franchise him again, and that to me seems the most likely scenario, his hands are tied. It's either play for the Chiefs or sit out. And the off season is contract season, and that's where we hear about the standoffs. Once the game starts, 99% of the time, the player is on the field. I think you're going to see Eric Berry in Kansas City again.
And we'll wrap up with this, Chris, as we approach free agency just a couple weeks away. You know, Ryan Pace has done a pretty nice job in his 2 years of going after what I would call kind of the next tier of free agents. You know, good starters, but guys looking for their, you know, their first big contract after the rookie contract. You look at Dane Trevathan, you look at Akeem Hicks, you look at Pernell McPhee. You know, those are the type of guys he usually targets. Are there guys that you can think of that are going to be free agents, are going to be available, that seem like the type of guys in that second tier that maybe a Ryan Pace and the Bears would go after? They have a lot of salary cap room. They're going to be aggressive, but they've never been the top of market type team. Who are some of those other players that fans should kind of keep an eye on as we approach March 9th?
Well, I think this year's free agent class is the weakest I've ever seen. Wow. And it's because the salary cap keeps going up. I think normally you look and you say, all right, there are 55, 65 players worth signing. And this year that number might be closer to 35 to 40. I think we're going to have to wait to see who gets released. And then that way you're talking about players who don't count against your supplemental draft picks or your extra third or fourth round picks that you get for signing players. So I think that's the batch that we're going to have to look. Who gets released over the next month? And that's, I think, where Ryan Pace might be doing his bargain shopping.
Well, the NFL season, Chris, as you know, it never ends. And here we are with a lot to talk about in the middle of February. Thank you so much for the time. And hopefully folks go check out your story on Jimmy Garoppolo and listen to you on the ATL NFL podcast.
Thanks, Kevin.
Before I bring in John Sally, I want to talk to you a little bit about FanEssentials.net. How would you like to get all of your favorite NFL teams merchandise delivered straight to your doorstep? If you go to FanEssentials.net and then use our promo code Chicago at checkout, you're going to get 30% off your first month. And what FanEssentials does is they ship all your team favorite teams gear right to your door. They find the sports gear so you don't have to. Prices start at just $34.99, but if you again use our promo code Chicago at checkout, 30% off your first month. Head to fanessentials.net to get all the essentials you need. John Sally joining us now on the program. You can follow him on Twitter at JSally. And John just talked to Chris Wessling of NFL.com about Jimmy Garoppolo. And what was interesting is while I was interviewing Chris, I saw an Ed Werder tweet about how he doesn't think the Patriots are going to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, which is kind of the entertaining pieces. But Chris's point was, if you read about these rookie quarterbacks coming into the draft and you look at what you know about Jimmy Garoppolo, he thinks the best route for the Bears to go is to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo if they can do it by giving up this year's second round pick and maybe next year's second round pick. Is that something you would be in support of?
2-2s for Jimmy Garoppolo is something I would definitely be in support of. I'm actually okay with the Bears giving up this year's number one for him if Ryan Pace believes that Garoppolo is that much better than any quarterback in this draft.
Yeah, and that's one of the things Chris talked about is because the two other teams that could be interested in Garoppolo are the Browns and the Niners. They have better picks, so it could turn into a bidding war. And this is the scenario I give out, and I know this is a very simplistic way to look at it, but here's the way I see it. If Jimmy Garoppolo, as you know him right now, was in the draft, okay, let's say you were allowed to draft Jimmy Garoppolo and you were the Bears, would you take him number three? And I think a lot of people actually would when you consider how valuable the quarterback position is. And in that case, you can make the argument about getting rid of the three for him. I do think when you have that number three pick, you need that pick to go to a franchise-changing player, whether that's going to be Jonathan Allen, Jamal Adams, Malik Hooker, Mitch Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Kizer, or if it gets part of some trade that brings you in, you have to take advantage of that pick.
Without question, if we were able to, in this fantasy scenario of being able to draft Jimmy Garoppolo, I would take him number three, without question. Yeah.
He would be considered a top quarterback because you know more about him than you do the other guys. You'd be more comfortable with him. And look, the Rams and Eagles traded up last year for Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. Those two guys were not the top two players in the draft. Okay, and Watson, people are going to freak out when one of these three quarterbacks goes really early. But that's just the way the position is. And I think, look, Bears fans are so desperate for a quarterback. I think you just have to kind of sit back and let Ryan Pace go after the guy he wants and spend whatever it takes to get him. Even if you think to yourself, well, he's not worth that pick. Well, maybe he is, because you have to give it a whirl at some point.
Exactly. Look, this is the quarterback is, it's a cliche, but it's right. It's the most important position in the sport. So you have to get it right, and you have to, in your evaluation process, take a look at Garoppolo versus the quarterbacks that are available in the draft. And if you think Garoppolo is that much better, or if you think Watson is that much better, or Kaiser, or Trubisky, then I don't think Bears fans really should have any issue with the Bears taking him at number three. Now, obviously, I would love for them to trade back and get him somewhere in the teens, get one of these quarterbacks somewhere in the teens, and pick up other picks. But you know, you need another trade partner to do that. If you are stuck at three and you think there's a franchise-changing guy there, grab him. It's fine.
And what, John, let's be honest, Bears fans are going to be unhappy at whatever they do.
I mean, probably, yeah.
I think if they were able to get Garoppolo without giving up a first-round pick, yeah, I think Bears fans...
scenario.
Yeah, I think they'd be okay with that. And here's what I've also said about Garoppolo. If you do trade for him, you should still draft a quarterback at some point in the fourth or fifth round. Or third round, you should double up. I mean, look at the Patriots. They draft a quarterback every year. It's worked out very nicely for them. You look at Washington drafted two quarterbacks in 2012, and they were able to, you know, when Griffin worked out great his first year, not so much. Then Cousins gets them to the playoffs. So, like the teams that continually draft quarterbacks, you know, maybe not like teams like the Browns or the Jets, but there are some teams that do it pretty well. So I think if you draft or if you trade for Garoppolo, you still do it, but. There's, as we talked about, there is a chance that they don't trade Garoppolo. Chris did not really like the other options available to the Bears. I have been a believer that you re-sign Brian Hoyer, and you have Hoyer, Connor Shaw, and then you draft a quarterback, whether that's number three or in the second round, and you go in the season like that. Because outside Garoppolo, nobody really is that exciting to me out of, you know, a Nick Foles or a Mike Glennon or... You know, none of those guys really excite me, but if you know, at least Hoyer knows the system, he's going to protect the football. I just wonder how much Hoyer's going to ask for. He might say, look at all the games I started, I didn't throw an interception, someone could pay me more.
Yeah, but it's still Brian Hoyer. Like, yes. I don't know how much Brian Hoyer can really ask for, because, you know, there's tape on him. So, you know, I think that Hoyer is a good fit back in Chicago, and I agree with you, if you draft a quarterback, you know, assuming you're drafting a quarterback or trading for a quarterback, still sign Hoyer, and I like the idea of drafting another quarterback later. You can never have too many of these guys.
All right, the other big topic, and we touched on it with Chris, and I talked about it at the top of the show, Alshon Jeffrey, that's going to be the other big decision that the Bears and Ryan Pace make. I actually think it'll be kind of cool, John. We're going to get to hear from Ryan Pace and John Fox the day of the franchise tag deadline. I could totally see them saying, we're not talking about it, and like 2 hours later they tag Alshon Jeffrey. But, you know, so that's going to be an interesting thing at the combine in terms of if he still hasn't been tagged yet. But I'm starting to get in, and I'm going to write a longer piece on this on our website at profootballweekly.com/bears next week and go a little bit more in on Alshon. But I'm right now in the belief that the Bears should find a way to keep him. And I understand it's going to cost a lot of money for a guy that has missed time, for a guy that only scored two touchdowns last year. But, you know, what else do you have at the position? And you have all the salary cap room in the world. I think I'm in the camp of they should keep him.
I'm not only in the camp of they should keep him, but they should tag him as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what a good deal is for Alshon. And the reason is, I don't know what a good deal is for Alshon Jeffrey right now from the Bears' perspective. From the Bears' perspective, what do you give Alshon as far as years and money based off of not only his performance but his health and a suspension? I don't know what the right number is for that. So why not give it another year to find out more information? You have the cap room to do this, so why not?
Yeah, I mean this is the time to use that cap room and yeah, take advantage of it. And I talked earlier in the show about trying to come to some, you know, really creative contract that gives the Bears some outs but still gives Alshon Jeffrey the guaranteed money and the average per year money that he believes he deserves, and that would be a little nicer on the cap. I just don't know if the two sides are going to agree on that, which is why, as you mentioned, the franchise tag might be the best tool. You saw the slideshow. It's up on our site, probowiki.com/Bears. Not a very sexy list of free agents for the Bears to consider bringing back. No, is there anybody on that list? By the way, I'm not talking about how these guys look. I'm just saying, you know, they're not necessarily great football players. Anybody on that list, they're like, oh, the Bears should definitely keep him.
I don't think there's anyone on that list outside of Alshon where you go, they have to keep this guy.
Yeah. I can see there are guys that are going to be like, yeah, you can bring back Connor Barth. You can bring back Cornelius Washington, you know, on 1 year deal. You can bring back some of these special teams guys like a Sam Acho, Chris Brzezinski, but these are not starter caliber players. They actually are in a good situation because the last couple of years they've had some big names that they've had to figure out what to do with. And right now it's Alshon Jeffery. I guess Brian Hoyer would be the next biggest name, and then that's it. So that should make Ryan Pace's life a little bit easier.
Yeah, I agree. There's nobody where you go, man, they really got to pony up for him, or they really got to, you know, make sure they get him back outside of Alshon. So, yeah, if there's a guy that fits in the system, sure. Otherwise, you know, you're a 3-13 ball club. Go get better players.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Before we wrap up shop, unfortunately, guys, I don't have a Bachelor update.
What?
Yeah, I missed the last few episodes. I realized, like, I mentioned earlier a few weeks ago that, watching it with my girlfriend was part of, it was kind of entertaining. But, like, I haven't, necessarily hung out with her. I'm not going to watch it on my own, necessarily. So, no Bachelor update. Sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
I can give you an update on the new 24.
Okay, I've only watched the first episode though. With the boy being sick, I've missed out, I believe, the last two or three now.
Yeah, you're in father time now, John. I can tell you the new 24 is fine. I'm gonna keep watching it because I still like the franchise, but it's just average. Within the first episode, I predicted 17 subplots, and already half of them have come to fruition. There's been like one surprise so far, which just happened in episode 3, that kind of surprised me a little bit. And I'm sure there'll be more, but it's fine. I'll keep watching.
Yeah, I it's the classic 24 setup of this guy's the mole, this guy's bad, this guy's actually good. It seemed predictable, and yeah, I'll stick with it too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe we'll have more for you on that next week. We are going to have a podcast next week, previewing the combine, kind of shifting gears to the draft. Then we'll be in Indianapolis February 28th that week, and we'll come back afterwards, kind of recap the combine, but then we jump right into free agency. The combine's later this year. So jump right into it, and then, of course, we'll have podcast breaking down who the Bears re-sign, who they trade for, who they don't trade for. I mean, it's crazy. By March, 14th, we can know who the Bears starting quarterback is and who their starting wide receiver is, and maybe if they were able to go find a new starting safety. So a lot is going to be happening within the next month. So stay tuned. Follow everything, of course, at Bears_insider and online at profootballweekly.com/Bears. My producers, Lee and Dan, birthday boy Dan Mott, John Sally.
Happy birthday, Dan!
John Sally, thank you for joining me and yelling happy birthday there for the end of the show. And of course, our guest this week, Chris Wessling of NFL.com. For everyone at Shaw Media, I'm Kevin Fishbane. Thanks so much for listening, and we actually do have more Bears talk for you next week.